Hey everybody, Ben Bailey here. Welcome to this week's episode of Tall But True. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Mr. DC Benny.
What's up, Bailey? Good to be here, man.
Yeah, not much, man. I'm excited. We're doing Tall But True again.
Yeah, man. It hasn't stopped. We're building it. Man.
We're building it. It's growing. People are listening.
Yeah.
People are regularly listening and complaining about the audio, and that is appreciated.
Yeah. One guy was like, if they laugh, take off your headphones.
So, yeah.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, it was like eardrum death or something. So, sorry to everyone for our audio issues. We are working on them. I think they're going to be better this week. Every week I try to improve upon whatever aspect I can. In the beginning, it was rough, but...
But, dude, you're doing it all yourself, you know? I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Thanks, man.
You know.
It's a lot. There's more to it than I thought. But once we get it settled and which I think we have, I think we're going to be free of audio problems.
That'll be good.
I don't know what number episode this is.
For a
while, I was like, this is episode number whatever, and then I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
Plus, it'll be listed on the thing anyway.
Yeah, it's more than five, so we know that.
Yeah, this is episode more than five.
Yeah.
And next episode will also be episode more than five.
We got a good guest today, I believe.
We got a great fucking guest today, man.
Wow.
This guy, I mean, everybody is going to know this guy. He's done so many great things. I'm going to list a few things that he's been in.
I have a friend that's obsessed with this guy.
Oh, really?
Obsessed with this guy. Yeah, we were talking about that.
All right, let's build us a little suspense. Yeah, that's interesting. I want to hear about that. So this guy has been in all kinds of stuff, from La Bamba to Stand and Deliver to Young Guns, Courage Under Fire. I thought he was awesome in. I just watched him in this movie, The 33, about the Chilean miners that were trapped.
Oh, right. Right. I heard about that.
That's a crazy story, man. And he was great in it.
Huh.
It's unbelievable. If you haven't seen that, you should check it out. He's in The Big Hit, The First Power. I mean, this list goes on forever. The First Power is like a horror movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which I remember, too. I watched it with my friends in college, and we should talk about this maybe when we have him on. And it spawned this period where we were trying to scare the shit out of each other. It went on for a while, and we scared the crap out of each other. But it just goes on and on in the list of things that he's been in.
Longmire.
Like, most
that's
recently,
a good show, man.
People will know him as Henry Standing Bear on Longmire, a show that we love.
Yeah,
it's Lou Diamond Phillips. We got Lou Diamond Phillips on the show. I can't even believe it. I said that like
it.
He's here, but he's not.
Yeah,
this is just our intro, and he's going to tell a crazy story about doing a stunt on one of the movie sets. I'm not sure about the rest of the details, but...
Well, I can't wait to hear it, man. I can't believe that you got him on the show. That's fantastic, man. That's Bailey, man. Bailey reaching out. Like
just
the
pulling
Godfather.
These people out, yeah. Listen, I need a favor. I'm doing a show from my basement. I'm wondering if you come in. But he's such a great guy. He reached out to me. He's a fan of Cash Cab.
Awesome.
He reached out to me on Twitter and said, hey, man, I'm a fan. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's great.
This Lou Diamond Phillips is a fan. Like, I'm such a fan of his. I think he's always good.
That's kind of like, you know, one respect why you do this stuff. You know, it's like you hope that one day that kind of thing can happen, that somebody that you've seen growing up. I mean, all these, all these movies that you're mentioning, all these shows and stuff, movies, it's like my childhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My adolescence, man, and whatever.
Yeah,
that,
totally.
Here's this guy, and now he's a fan of your show. You know, it's really cool.
And a super nice guy. And like, we went out, we had dinner, we were telling stories, and that's when I was like, oh, I think maybe Lou would be a great guest for Tall But True. And then I just said, hey, man, would you be interested in doing the show? He said, I would love to do the show. We figured it out. We managed to get the time together.
I'm excited for this one, man. I'm excited, dude.
And so he's doing it, man. Tall But True. We're talking about horses or stunts or near-death experiences.
All three
with Lou Diamond Phillips. And we'll be right back after this. Hello, Lou.
Yes, Ben. How are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty fantastic, man. It finally stopped raining here in LA, so it's lovely.
Oh, nice, man. I heard you guys have been having very un-LA weather out there.
Yeah, but we need it, you know. I mean, you can't complain about it, but I mean, at the same time, the city's not built for it, and so there's flooding. You know, we had sinkholes and crap like that. So, I mean, it kind of freaks people out. It's like, what is this falling from the sky? You know, but, we managed to do okay, but we certainly needed it. I mean, you know, it's feast or famine out here. It's drought or flood.
Yeah, it's been a drought for a long time, right?
Absolutely.
Your house,
but yeah, hopefully
wash
this
away,
is got the reservoirs going on now, so it's all good.
Cool. Well, welcome to Tall But True, man. This is it. I'm going to introduce you to my co-host, Mr. DC Benny.
Hey, Lou, how you doing, man?
I'm excellent. Yeah, well, DC, wow, does that mean you're from Washington?
It does, actually.
See how quick I am? See how I caught on to that, you know, that clever moniker?
Yeah, it's a nickname, so that's where it's from, man.
You'd be surprised how many people overlook that.
Yeah.
Oh, DC Benny, where are you from?
Wow. Do you like comic books? Is that what's going on there? Yeah.
Yes, indeed, man. Well, yes, indeed. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show.
I am thrilled. I'm glad it worked out. I've got kind of a busy, crazy week, but
I was able to carve some
time out today. And, you know, anything for Ben, especially since, you know, he can kick my ass and will track me down. So, you know, happy to be here.
Yeah, he was out playing hockey last night, you know.
I was telling DC I started playing ice hockey again, and it's like I can't go to sleep. When I get home, I'm so wired up.
Well, somebody made a salty comment to you,
somebody,
right?
Called me a douchebag, one of the other guys on the other team.
Wow. Yeah. In hockey? Yeah. That's so impolite.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be like a, you know, it's not a violent league. It's a bunch of old guys, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if I could play pickup basketball anymore, man. The knees ain't what they used to be.
Lou, I'm so glad that you're on the show, man. We did the intro before we got you on the line here, and I was just like running through your credits. You've done so many amazing things, man. You've had such a great career.
I can't go on IMDb, man. It just puts me to sleep. It's just, you know, it's painful. It really is.
So many great movies you've been in.
Thank you. I've been very fortunate, you know. And I mean, the funny thing is like I've actually received, I don't know, like 3 or 4 Lifetime Achievement Awards, and I always start my acceptance speech with the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not done. You know, I'm actually not finished. You know, Lifetime Achievement implies a lifetime worth of work, and I'm not, you know, half done.
Yeah, I don't think you're anywhere near done, man. I feel like you're just getting better and better. I watched that 33.
Thank you.
It was so good, man. It was so moving. What? First of all, the story is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of boggles the imagination. I mean, just the fact that nobody died in the initial collapse is unreal. And then those men were able to survive under just inhuman conditions. It was a real honor to be a part of that cast and to tell that story.
Yeah. And you were so good. I don't want to give away the end, but everybody knows how it works out. But just that last scene. Just, man, that's going to stay with me. Like, it's really touching. Oh,
thank you. And you know, I mean, that was one of the scenes that really attracted me to doing the role. I went, oh, my gosh. Because, you know, my guy is so conflicted.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the bad guy. He's not the good guy. He's just a guy who's, you know, stuck in a middle management position between a rock and a hard place and overcome by guilt and you know, what was his responsibility in all of this. And you know, it's a true fact that Luis Ursúa, my character Don Lucho, who was the shift supervisor, you know, he insisted on being the last one to leave the mine because he, you know, throughout his first concern was for his men, and I thought that was such a noble and honorable, you know, thing to be able to portray.
That's amazing. And what a role to play. Like the guy DC you haven't seen, and I guess he's. He blames himself.
Yeah.
And, like, these guys are trapped down there for, what is it, 67 days or something?
69. Yeah, 69 days. Crazy.
And nobody, they don't, no one kills anyone. There's no, like, it's amazing. Anyway, we can't spend the whole thing talking about that. Man. But check out the 33 and Lou's performance in it. Is
thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's out there on video now or on demand and all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
and we have to say, to me, like it's like La Bamba is such a big thing, was such a big thing when it came out, and like. Are there people who think that you are Richie Valens? Like,
Twitter is Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter has really cleared things up for a lot of people who thought I was dead. You know? It's like, he's on Twitter? I thought he died in the plane crash. Wow.
Okay, I knew there was a disconnect there. I thought there must be. Because there's like a generation of kids who think Val Kilmer is Jim Morrison.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, you must have that from La Bamba because it was that real. And you were the face of Richie Valens.
And it's so bizarre because, I mean, you know, thank goodness it's one of those films that, it's really stood the test of time. And it plays on cable all the time.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, now I have, you know, 8-year-olds running up to me going, not my Richie! You know, so yeah, it's like thank you. There's a whole new generation of stalkers.
Richie,
yeah, exactly, right.
He was great in that too. That's he's wonderful Morales, in that. Right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's doing great. As a matter of fact, he most recently gave me one of my Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Did he really?
We see each other a lot. Actually, we tend to run in the same circles and support the same causes. So it's a pretty cool thing.
Let me ask you, when you were shooting, just to go back to the 33 for a second, when you were shooting that, were you guys must have been down in the mine, the actual mine or this, you know, the mine that you were using as the mine. Were you ever, did it ever feel like, wow, this is pretty scary.
Well, you know, it's
like
interesting.
Stuck down there for real and get a feel for what it would have been like.
Like claustrophobic or anything.
Fortunately, I'm not claustrophobic. And fortunately, none of the cast was really. I mean, and it was a big cast, as you know.
Yeah.
And Antonio Banderas, I mean, what a wonderful man. You know, Oscar Nunez from The Office. You know, I mean, so funny and so entertaining. Jacob Vargas. I mean, it was just such an easygoing cast. I mean, which is, you know, under those conditions, we really needed it. We were underground in Bogota, Colombia, in a tiny little mining town called Zipaquira, just outside of Bogota. And yeah, it was not comfortable, man. And it was in the middle of winter, and we're supposed to be sweating and, you know, the heat. Yeah, so, you know, we'd strip down and they'd, you know, cover us with, you know, the fake, you know, gross mud and stuff and then spray us down. So it was pretty much torture every day. But there was no feeling of dread. One of the second mines,
the guys were making it fun.
It was great. You know, I mean, we had to walk about 100 yards into the first mine. Now the second mine we could actually drive into for the collapse sequences and stuff. And that one, believe it or not, even though it was a bigger mine, was worse because it was a working mine and the air quality was absolutely terrible. So a lot of our cast and crew had to take breaks, you know, because we shoot a 12-hour day, you know, every couple hours, you know, people would become kind of overwhelmed and have to go get some fresh air, because it was sort of noxious. But when we went down to Chile and did the exteriors, we did do the drive-in into a non-working mine that was about a mile away from the actual mine where it happened. And what's weird is, and maybe because it was the proximity to the actual event. Was so palpable. Driving into that mine, there I got paranoid. There I thought, wow. Okay. And first of all, it wasn't reinforced. It looked like it could come down on you at any minute. And so that one was a little nervous making.
That's
helps
pretty
with
hairy.
The authenticity of the acting, I guess.
Yeah. All right, pretend you're fearing for your life.
Yeah.
Now you've
no, no, no worries.
no problem. Got that covered. Let's talk about Young Guns for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What a great movie! Like, there's so many great actors in that, and what a huge thing that was.
It's just nuts, man. I was, you know, it's so funny because I'm actually moving, and I came across a couple of posters that I have, and I look at that cast, and I go, wow. Yeah. And at the time. You know, there's a line from a Ricky Lee Jones song, you know, you never know when you're making a memory. And so you look back now and you go, wow, that was cool.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And yet when you're doing it, you know, it doesn't really quite sink in. I mean, but for me, I mean, first day on set, I literally go, you know, I had made La Bamba, I had made Stand and Deliver. They were both in the can. La Bamba had just come out. And walking onto that set with, you know, Emilio and Kiefer and Charlie Sheen, and, you know, then I thought, okay, I've arrived. You know, now I'm the only ethnic member of the Brat Pack. That's fantastic. I'm the token brown guy in the Brat Pack.
Did you ever have any Young Guns and Young Guns 2? Were there any hairy, scary?
Yeah, man.
Because you're riding horses and you're shooting guns like. Real old
and I'm a pretty good rider, and you know, I mean, there were a lot of little, you know, scrapes and mishaps, but yeah, I was almost killed on Young Guns too. I left that set in a rather ignoble fashion. The funny thing is it was a night shoot. Actually, it was a day going into night shoot. We call them splits, and right. There was a scene that was not scripted. And we were kind of making stuff up as we went along, especially for the action sequences. And in the sequence where, you know, Emilio and the rest of the gang come and break Kiefer and I out of, you know, that pit, and it looks like we're going to go get lynched. By the way,
during, you guys are locked up and they come and break you out. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, that was Jon Bon Jovi's screen debut. He gets shot, you know, during that particular it's hilarious. Shit. Man,
did he go shot through the heart?
Yeah, exactly, right. It's like, yeah, man, this is so cool. Yeah, he was flipping out.
Well, that's a cool little tidbit.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know, because they originally wanted to use Wanted Dead or Alive for the movie, and he goes, why don't you let me write something new, but can I come and hang out on set for a couple of weeks? And then, you know, when they started shooting a lot of people, he went, hey, can I get shot? You know? So it's like, yeah, okay, that's sure, great. Why not, you know? And as awesome. A matter of fact, another little tidbit that'll win you drinks in a bar is that Tom Cruise is in the first Young Guns. He was visiting Emilio because they had become good friends off The Outsiders, and he had never been shot. So they put mutton chops on him and a big floppy hat and a mustache. And at the end of Young Guns 1, when Emilio pops out of that steamer trunk, the first person that he shoots is Tom Cruise. And if you freeze frame the, because I mean it's like 3 seconds long. If you freeze frame the guy when his head flops back and the hat comes off, you can see that it's Tom.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great, man. I was going to ask if that's why, because The Outsiders is another movie that's like, holy shit, look at all the people that are in this.
Yeah,
you forget.
Yeah, right. You know, back when actors used to actually hang together, and you know, it'd be the Brat Pack. There was something to it, man. I mean, everybody is kind of out for themselves these days.
Yeah, we're all our own business. So you guys are being broken out of jail.
We're being broken out of jail. And all of a sudden, we get called over to another part of the set. This is in Cerrillos, New Mexico, not far from where we shoot a lot of Longmire, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Longmire.
Great. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, the bartenders are the same that they were 30 years ago. So, you know, there's a real through line for me. But I go and Emilio and I are going and they're explaining this new scene. They're going, okay, listen, and it's a narrow alleyway. It's about probably, 15 feet across. And Emilio's going to ride in one way. I'm going to ride in the other. Anybody who's seen the movie knows that, okay, I've got these shackles on my wrists. They're plastic, but a very real noose around my neck that's wrapped around the saddle horn. So they're explaining the shot. They've already set up a three-camera setup. There's a wide shot and two close-ups. And Emilio's supposed to ride in one way. I'm supposed to ride in the other. Stop my horse, turn sideways, put my shackled hands on the wall where there is an explosive device called a squib that's going to blow up. Okay. Now, to prevent sparks, gunpowder, splinters from going into my eyes, I've got to duck my head into my chest. So now, you know, you can imagine what sort of configuration I'm in. Hands against the wall, head tucked into my, you know, chest, turned sideways on my horse.
Emilio, noose around your neck.
Noose around my neck.
Ready to blow.
Jesus, yes. Man. Well, the squib is going to blow second. What's going to happen first is that Emilio is going to pull the trigger on his gun and a full load blank is going to go off. These are very, very loud. right by my horse's head. And then so that's going to blow. Then the explosion of the wall is going to blow, and I'm going to pretend to break the shackles, and woohoo, the hero's ride off into the sunset. Okay. Now add to this.
What could possibly go wrong?
Sounds good.
What could possibly go wrong? Add to this, there are like a dozen stunt guys with torches riding back and forth at the mouth of the alley, shooting off guns. Okay. My horse is not a calm horse to begin with. As a matter of fact, my horse has such a stick up its ass that, you know, it was almost impossible to stop the guy. It had thrown Alan Ruck in rehearsals, and so then they gave the horse to me because I was a better rider. All right.
Oh, God.
So now they explain all of this to me.
I'm scared for you right now. Yeah, it's like, and I know you're okay.
Something. And I say to the first AD, I say, dude, what the hell you think is gonna happen? I said, Emilio's going to pull off that blink. The explosion is going to go off, and this horse is going to, you know, take off like it was the starting gun to, you know, the Kentucky Derby, you know? He goes, but you're a good rider. I said, yeah, I'm a good rider with my hands on the reins facing forward, not turned sideways doing the hokey pokey, you know?
Holy shit.
And he goes, well, I said, listen, man, roll the master camera, we'll ride in. Then we'll ride out. Then roll the close-up cameras, and you can blow up the whole wall for all I care. Then we're fine. Put us on a couple of ladders. It'll be fine.
Yes, yeah, separate because, the shots.
Goes, right? Exactly. Because, no, man, no, I got to get into one. I'm behind schedule. And I'm like, oh, dude. I was like, come on. You've got to be kidding me. You know, I said, I need to see the producer, man, because this is silly. You know, I said, let's try it once, but by the second take, I want the producer here, okay? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So now the thing is, Jeff Murphy, the director, who's a very, very sort of understated Kiwi, he's a New Zealand guy. I mean, he doesn't even like it. And he comes up and he goes, hey, listen, mate, anything goes wrong, just piss off, all right? Just, you know, just piss off. Don't worry about a shot. You know, and I thought that was nice of him, you know. So fine, we go to do the, you know, and meanwhile, Stevie Hanna, the Wrangler, I love this guy to this day. He doesn't like it either, and he's trying to figure out a way to get control of the horse when I have to let go of the reins. So, I mean, he's literally like laying on the ground trying to reach up and grab the reins during the rehearsal. That's not going to work. He tries monofilament. Please, the horse, you know, twitches and it breaks. So ultimately what he does is he grabs – and by the way, there are no stunt people on the set because this is not supposed to be a stunt. All right?
Oh, it's not on the books as a stunt. Yeah.
Yeah, they pissed
it is
off.
Not on the books as a stunt. Jesus. So Stevie grabs a couple of the other cowboys, the Wranglers, like four of them, and they tuck just out of sight – at the head of the alley, because they figure the horse is going to bolt forward, all right, and they're going to grab him. I mean, so I'm good with this. It's like, all right, let's try this. So we try it.
So these guys have sort of made you feel more comfortable about doing it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, but I want to talk to the producer and, you know, have him do it my way, you know, but I thought, okay, I'll give him one, and Stevie will be there because the horse is going to take off. I know, so I'm prepared for that.
I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. So you're sitting side saddle on the horse.
Yeah, I'm straddling him, but I got to turn my body sideways.
Okay, so you're
and
straddling.
And put my hands on a wall to my right.
While you're on the horse.
While I'm on the horse,
and your
having
hands are
let
shackled,
go of the reins,
and
yes.
You have a noose around your neck.
Yes.
And Emilio Estevez is going to fire a gun next to the horse's head.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Are we clear?
Yeah, yes. I just want to make sure. I'm like, it's the picture I have in my head, but it sounds absolutely insane. Okay.
Yeah. You know, the truth of the matter is, when you talk through it, you go, what the fuck was I thinking?
Well, you also are there, and you want to do a good job. And,
and I'm young, and I want to be a good soldier and all the above, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Fine. So we go for the first take, and sure enough, man, long story short, it happens like I say it's going to happen, except for one fact. The horse rears and turns around and goes the other way. Okay? Now, I remember this very, very clearly. As I'm tumbling off the back of the horse, I my first thought is, told you so.
You know? You're ass first up in the air, falling off the back of a horse. You're like, I told you so.
Right.
Son of a bitch.
Now, here's the thing. So I hit the ground. My second thought is, oh shit, the noose.
Ooh.
And the horse takes off.
Okay. And the guys are at the other end of the alley.
At the other end of the alley.
So there's nobody there to stop
so
the horse.
Exactly. So now the horse goes the other way. Now I have cobbled together the rest of this story from eyewitness accounts of people who tell me what happened.
You go blank
at some point.
No, I never lost consciousness, thank God.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is apparently I push a PA tried to step in front of the horse. Horse, like, you know, almost runs him over. I push him out of the way because I had gotten to my feet. But then the horse, you know, goes so fast that it jerks me off my feet. Now, apparently I actually was able to pull myself up the rope and almost got back on, but he kicked me. Now he was kicking me constantly because he didn't know what the hell was you know dragging behind him.
Yeah, he just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Now he's in total panic mode, this horse. So now he is not running in a straight line. There is a lot more set behind where we were shooting. So now the horse drags me. Now that I'm on my stomach being dragged behind a horse, you know, kind of picture boogie boarding, you know, behind a boat, but on dry land.
And he's pulling you by the noose that's around your neck.
That's around my neck. Thank God the knot was in front, because people tell me that if the knot had been behind, it would have broken my neck. But the knot was in front, and I actually got my fingers into it at one point. Trying to pull it off, but you know, I was being dragged, so I couldn't get enough you know, of the tension loose. So the horse drags me through a pile of kindling, you know, like chopped firewood, and I burst through that like a bowling ball through pins. He also drags, and now he's going serpentine. He's zigzagging, trying to knock me off on other stuff.
Trying to get rid of you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In addition to kicking me. Okay. Oh, he also drags me through a wagon wheel of a period wagon, and I actually break the wagon wheel going through it. You know, at this point,
is a movie on its own.
I know,
100%, man. You know, and so he's kicked me a few times, like in the ribs and whatnot. He's kicked me in the head, and fortunately for me, the lights of the set, because it's nighttime, the lights of the set glint off of his silver horse hooves, and I can see it coming, you know. And so I throw my right arm at one point, so they're all glancing blows. He doesn't squish my head like a grapefruit. But I did throw a kicking horse, could kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Worse easily.
Than Chuck Norris.
So I threw my right you know arm up, and he kicks that and breaks that in four places. So that's broken, and so now he's getting toward the edge of the set, and here's where Providence comes in. There's a gate at the edge of the set. Beyond the gate is desert. Beyond the desert is Mexico. Okay, so this is my last chance. And I don't know how it happened.
Drag you into the desert.
Exactly.
My God, man.
Yeah, and meanwhile, people are you know chasing after us, and by the way, people are not faster than a horse.
Right, freaking them out more too.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So
Bon Jovi is racing.
Yeah, right. Emilio was busting ass trying to get to me. You know, just crazy,
man. Oh my God.
Yeah. So my knee. It hits the edge of this gate, which is made out of railroad ties. Okay. Ugh. And so that breaks my left kneecap.
Fuck.
But what it does is it breaks the rope. The rope snaps.
Ugh.
All right. So thank God the rope snaps, the horse runs off into the desert, and I'm laying there broken and crumpled on the ground. You know?
Holy shit. Broken arm, Peter, broken leg.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and
did
so
they
Peter
tell
Bankins,
you to walk it off for the next shot.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Oh my God, Lou.
Wow,
Peter,
man.
Peter Bankins, the prop guy, is the first guy to get to me. Emilio's the second guy, literally, and he's freaked out. He's very dramatic, and Emilio, you know, so they get the noose off me, and Emilio's going, "Oh my God, Lou! Oh my God, it was so gnarly, man! It was so gnarly. Your face is fine. Your face is fine."
Awesome, man.
He knows what's
I'm
important.
Like, wow, okay, all right. You know.
Your face is fine.
You know, this was, as an actor, this was his concern.
Yeah.
You know?
Holy
so,
shit.
I'm laying there, man. Now, here's the weird thing, you know, is that I thought I was dying because the stars were in focus and everybody's face that's close to me is out of focus. So I thought, oh, I'm going to heaven. Here I am. I'm knocking on heaven's door, yeah. You know? And so it's a very surreal thing. And I'm sure I've gone into shock or whatever it is, you know?
Everyone's circled around you, looking down at you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so now the set medic, you know, he's there and they've called. Now we're out in the middle of the desert, man. And so now they got to get a medevac from Albuquerque, which is, you know, more than an hour away, you know, to fly up and fly me back down, you know. So now I got to lay on the ground for an hour. And here's the thing, Emilio, no finer man on this earth. I mean, what a heart. I mean, just an unbelievable guy. And so the set medic is literally trying to figure out, you know, where my injuries are. And at one point, you know, his hand comes away from my arm and it's covered with blood. And Emilio's like, "What's that?" He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And Emilio says to me, you know, "Man, is this a hurt? Do you hurt?" And he said, "Yeah, man, it really hurts. Emilio, I'm in a lot of pain." And he turns to the medic and he goes, "You know, give my buddy some morphine." So all of a sudden, Emilio's in Apocalypse Now, you know, and you know, he's channeling Martin. You know, and the medic says, "I can't, man, I can't, because I don't know what his injuries are." Emilio reaches across my body, grabs the medic by the lapels and shakes him. He says, "Give my buddy some fucking morphine! He's in pain!"
Holy shit,
it was amazing, man.
Did he give you Emilio morphine?
No, he didn't.
No, he still didn't.
You know, so now he's this is the other funny thing.
He's trying to
look
out for you, I guess.
100%, man. Yeah. But he's all amped up and, you know, adrenalized and everything. So the funny thing is this. This is my father's first visit to a set.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Your dad was there for this.
And my dad was there. And so he is one of the faces in the circle around me. And so now they start cutting off clothes where the blood is, you know, to see how bad it is. And my right arm, it was, like I said, it was broken in four places. It was a compound fracture. There's blood sticking out. I mean, bones sticking out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so they cut that away. And, you know, and I'm screaming and yelling because if you move it, it's just, you know, terribly painful. And now my father has done two tours of Vietnam. So he's seen some shit. And they cut my arm away. And I look up at my dad. And my dad's this, you know, redneck cracker from Texas. All right. Hey, I'm proud of him. You know, and so they cut away the sleeve, and I look up at my dad. I said, "How's it look, Dad?" And my dad says, "Well, son, it looks like shit." And I said, "Okay, all right then. You know, don't sugarcoat it, Pop.
Tell it to me straight. I can take it."
And so now, you know, the medevac gets there and everything. Now, and the other funny thing is this: Emilio is deathly afraid of flying. He drives to every set. He hates flying. Maybe that's changed in the 30 years since then. But right. So the medevac comes in, and Emilio, by the way, has lain on the ground next to me for an hour. They covered it. This is January. And it's cold in New Mexico, and they had covered us with blankets and whatnot. But Emilio did not leave my side. And kept talking to me and kept, you know, supporting me and just, you know, amazing, just amazing. And so now the medevac gets there and Emilio says, "Man, you know, if you want, man, I'll get on the medevac with you. I'll fly down to Albuquerque. Okay. I'll be right there with you, buddy." And I said, "Emilio, you're afraid of flying." He goes, "Yeah, I know, but I'll do it. I'll do it. And I said, "No, you don't have to do that. Thank you, man. Thank you. I really didn't want to do it."
I wanted to do it for you, but I'm so relieved that you exactly. said I don't have to. Wow.
So, you know, anyway, holy so shit. That experience has, and I've done tons of stunts since, and I've done a lot of fights and whatnot. But that was the time that taught me to never go against my gut, and you know, to take a breath and say, "Well, hold on, let's talk about this."
Yeah.
You know?
How long was it before? How long was it the actual duration of that whole thing in actual time, and then how long was it before you actually got on a horse again?
Wow. Let me see. The funny
From
thing
the
is,
from the gunshot it's, to when you were laying there by the gate.
I mean, it all happened so fast. Yeah. I mean, it was probably, I don't know, from the gunshot to when they got to me. You know, maybe 2 minutes.
Wow.
You know,
that's a lot of damage.
I mean, Dean Semler was looking through the lens and saw until I disappeared from the lights. saw a lot of it go down. He didn't leave the camera. People told me later that he thought I was dead. He thought that I couldn't have survived.
Forgive me, but my question was going to be, did they get the shot? And was it usable?
Now,
I know that's a little insensitive, but...
No, actually, that was my first question when I regained consciousness. I'm serious.
Did you get the shot?
I said, did you guys get it? I want to see it. Those sons of bitches. something happened in the lab, man. The film got destroyed. It's like, I'm not going to sue you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to sue you.
Something
Come
happened
on.
In the lab. Yeah. We ruined it, so we're not liable. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. I mean, how often you get dragged by a horse and kicked in the head and, be able to actually enjoy it with friends.
Right. Exactly. at a barbecue.
Well, I feel like I just saw it.
Yeah, man, that was a very vivid description.
Holy shit, yeah. Man. Wow. I've never had an experience anywhere close to that. I rode a horse when I was like, I think I was 6 or 7 years old, and I went on this camping trip with my father and the Cub Scouts, I think. And one of the days we had to ride horses, and I was scared of a horse. I was a tiny kid, but they made us do it, and I got on the horse, and they kept telling us, oh, everything's fine, everything will be fine, you just ride your horse, just hold on. And everything was fine until, and I don't even know hardly anything about horses, Lou, you probably know this. If there's a whole group of horses together and some of the horses take off and run ahead, the other horses will run to keep up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're herd animals. So, if one of them gets scared, the rest of them are going to freak out too.
So, yeah. So this is what happens. One of the horses gets spooked by something, takes off running. All the horses go in, follow along and just take off. And I'm 6 or 7 years old. I don't know what I'm doing at all. Scared to death. My father is on a horse behind me. And I remember this pretty vividly, given how young I was. That's how scary it was.
Yeah.
My horse takes off, and I can't hold on. I'm too little or whatever. So I'm trying desperately to grab on to the horn or whatever you call that.
The saddle horn.
The saddle horn. And I can't. And so pretty soon, I'm falling off the horse. Luckily, my father, who also doesn't know anything about horses and has maybe ridden a horse once in his life before that or twice, is like a superhero, rides up next to me and pulls me. At this point, I'm hanging by one hand next to the horse.
Yeah.
He pulls up next to me and grabs me and puts me on his horse and rides off and
does
saves,
the same.
Just like Roy Rogers,
saves my life. Yeah, Roy Rogers me and saves me. That's the only real experience I ever had on a horse because I've been scared to death of them since then, man.
I went with my wife to Costa Rica, and my wife used to ride growing up, but I grew up in the city. I've never ridden on a horse. So she's like, we're going to go on a horseback
in
ride.
D.C.
And we're going to, in the morning or whatever. So it was myself, her, and this other guy, and then there was like the guide. And I think it must have been a 3-hour ride. So she gets on the horse, and I'm 6'4", like 220, and they gave me this little horse. I mean, this guy, I felt so bad for this thing. I got up, and the thing, I mean, he looked like a chain smoker. He's wheezing along, and I felt so bad for this horse.
Your feet are touching the ground.
Oh, my God. There's a photo of me. It looks ridiculous. My feet were almost touching the ground. It was like a giant dog. And this other guy that was with us, I'll never forget this. He wore like these onion skin jogging pants, and he had never been on a horse either. Well, about an hour in, I guess your balls get really smashed up or
chafed.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be careful with
every
those.
Every little bump. This guy's like, and we had like 2 more hours to go and then to go back. He could barely get off of that horse on the way. I mean, it was the funniest thing. We're all laughing at this guy's balls getting crushed, and chafed. And I mean, we were all staying the same. That dude was in bed for like 2 days afterwards.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's you got to pull them up, man. You got to pull them up in force. So you don't sit
get them up in front.
Yeah,
the boys. It just hit me. I mean, wow. So DC, you're 6'4", and Ben, I know how tall you guys are. In a very tall room. You must be in a very
we're
very
actually
tall room
not, man.
Somewhere.
Actually,
yeah, we're in the basement.
We're
the
both
studio
dunking
is in the basement of my house. And the ceilings are not super high.
Yeah, it's like a bad episode of Tiny House or something. Put two giants in a room.
That's hilarious.
No sudden movements.
Lou, are you good for time? Can you stay in and hear our stories?
I actually got to jump. I got to jump. I'm in the middle of a move, actually.
Yeah, I know you're moving.
Well, I got to go do something glamorous like pack boxes.
Well, thank you so much, man.
Oh, my pleasure, brother.
That was a great story, man.
I can't wait to see you again. And we'll do this again. We'll do this again.
We're going to do it in LA in April, man. We'll let you know. And I'll let you know
Fantastic.
When I'm out there. Dude, good luck with the move, brother. Thanks so much, man.
I appreciate it.
Nice chatting.
Thank you, man. You got it. Thanks, DC.
All right. Take care. So you went horseback riding with your wife. And the guys...
Dude, it was the funniest shit ever. This guy, it was... And he was like, I think I can... This no problem. And he had these little onion skin jogging shorts. You don't even see those things anymore. And even then, I knew, like, I had doubled up on the denim. I'm like, this, you know, this... I'd be wearing ass pads.
Yeah, the guy was like cycling shorts or something.
He's like, that's not going to be... And the guy's like, don't worry, it's fine. Man, it was... This dude, about an hour in, his face. I got a photo of his face at the end of the trip. Like, I was pretending. I was like, look at the shrubbery over here. And I took a photo of this guy's face, man. I mean, he was just, he was staggering, man. I don't think his nuts were ever the same. Like, that's, I mean, that was my one experience with a horse. And my other one was my buddy growing up had a horse farm. His dad had a horse farm His dad used to race horses. He was in, that's cool. And we go to the horse farm. His dad is this guy, KT Leatherberry in Maryland, who's like a legendary horse breeder, horse guy, right?
What's his name?
KT Leatherberry.
KT Leatherberry.
Anybody who knows horses knows KT Leatherberry.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss character.
Oh, yeah. No, he's for real, man. He looks like Paul Newman. You know, he's a great dude. So he, with that kind of sport, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down. And it's a little like comedy where there are these kind of cliques.
Right.
And if you're not in the cliques, you're kind of on the outskirts, you know, no matter what your accomplishments are. And like should have been in the Hall of Fame a really long time ago for all his accomplishments. But there was, you know how
but
it is.
Somehow he just wasn't that guy. Yeah, totally.
Suddenly everybody's like, man, how come KT's not in the Hall of Fame?
Cliques, little groups, like there's who's hot right now.
That's it.
Oh, we got to get this guy.
Just like comedy, right? Yep. Who's got the longest beard?
Yeah.
So he went through some stuff where he sold the farm and this and that, but he was eventually down to this one last horse.
Right.
And this horse they were going to put down because it had a broken pelvis. And KT always knew me from I always had this black cat.
Right.
You know, it's like whatever. They just knew me from growing up with the cat or whatever. So he named this horse Ben's Cat, right? And Ben's Cat.
That's the name of the horse.
Ben's Cat. Not only did Ben's Cat come back from that pelvic injury, they didn't put him down. He started winning every goddamn race. Like this horse, if you look up Ben's Cat, put KT in the Hall of Fame. So they couldn't keep him out. Yeah, Ben's Cat came back, put KT in the Hall of Fame, man.
And that horse is named for you.
That's the story.
Dude, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, so that's my horse story. I don't know anything else about horses, but
I don't have a lot of horse stories. I mean, Lou's story was fucking amazing.
That was a holy shit, man.
And
that's
boy,
a,
I feel
it was a movie.
It was a movie. Like, I'm so glad he came out. I was trying to think, you know.
All you need is some Jim Brewer sound effects in that thing. It's like, you know.
But yeah, that was crazy. I feel like I was there. And that's the first time on the show that I'm like, I don't have a story that's anywhere close to this caliber.
That thing was epic, man. That was
amazing. I was really scared for him. The only other horse things I know about, like I had, there was a racehorse named Cash Cab.
There was a Cash Cab racehorse?
There was a Cash Cab racehorse. This guy that owned it brought me a photograph of it.
Dude, that's better than a sandwich at like Junior's or something named after, you know?
A racehorse named Cash Cab that was a pretty good racer. I don't know. He never won any major races, I guess.
But that's cool. How many people?
But that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, we both have horses kind of named for us. I thought when he's talking about horses, I was like, I remembered one time in New York, I used to take my dog into Washington Square Park because my dog grew up in the suburbs. I don't know if you remember my dog.
The floof.
The floof.
Yeah, I remember
Nikki,
the floof.
The magic floof and floof.
I think we'll be talking about the floof later today.
We will, yeah. We're going to be talking about the floof because we're going to do some pet stories.
On another episode.
On another episode with Janine Garofalo. It's coming up. That'll be 2 weeks from this one.
So you're Washington Square Park with the floof.
So the floof would only go to the bathroom on the grass because I had trained her to go to the bathroom on the grass when we lived out in the suburbs. Then we moved into New York, and there's nowhere for the floof to go to the bathroom, so she feels like she can't go. And it's awful. So I would take her into the park. And
she'd have a giant piss.
And she would pee and poop, you know, just take a big dump on the grass in the park.
Yeah, a three-day dump.
And you're not supposed to do that. So,
because the stoners sit there, right?
I don't know why, but I guess people don't clean it up, but there's so many people that there were just being dog shit everywhere. But so I'm in there with the floof. The floof is taking a shit on the grass in the park, and a cop on a horse comes up. And he's like, "All right, you can't let your dog shit." And he writes me a ticket. The whole time he's writing me a ticket for the floof pooping in a park, his horse is taking the biggest shit in the world right in the middle of the road. And I'm just like, how is this?
You should have written him a ticket back,
like,
man.
Dude, your horse took a shit as big as my dog while you're writing me a ticket.
I love that, dude. Man. I love that. Oh, that's great, man. Yeah.
Holy shit. I can't stop thinking about Lou and...
Yeah, man. That thing was... I don't know. I did one film once, and I shot a blank gun, and a spark of it went into my eye.
Holy shit.
And I thought, like, it, like, burnt a little bit of the retina or something like that, and they were, like, squirting water or whatever. But it's right. They do shut it. They're like, yeah, you're fine. We don't want any lawsuits.
You're okay. Don't have that on film.
They didn't have it on film either. Yeah, it's magical how that happens.
They had all of it. You know they had that whole thing with Lou being dragged by the horse and everything. They watched it 500 times and then deleted it.
It made it like Mystery Science Theater, you know, where they're narrating it or whatever.
But, you know, it's funny what he said. You know, he learned from that to listen to his gut.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
Gotta
do it. You get into those situations and you're like...
Well, nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody gives a fuck about you. They want the movie to happen.
You have to do it. You have to be like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
This is fucking dangerous or...
And there is that pressure to be that team player to make things go smooth. You don't want to be, you know, having drama fits and this and that. But it's like, you know, hey, man, you know, he knew what was going to go down and went way worse than he could have imagined.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just the picture he's painting, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, I wonder if...
I haven't done a lot of stunts. I've done a few.
Yeah.
One of the first things, I'm just remembering now, one of the first things I ever acted in was this Japanese jeans commercial. Isn't it hilarious? So,
Sergio Barrente.
No, it's called Big John Jeans.
Oh, dude, that is awesome. Do you have that anywhere?
I have it, yeah.
Oh, you got to put that up somewhere.
I should put it up, yeah. It's hilarious.
Oh.
The star of the...
Big old John Jeans. In the very big old John Jeans. Shit, dude.
That gets a laugh button.
Dude, I got to see that, man.
So, dude, the story of how I get that is pretty funny. Like... I gotta go to the audition is on the Lower East Side.
Yeah,
yeah. You remember that woman, Lori East Side?
Yeah, yeah.
That was her name.
Yeah,
I guess
original.
And she did casting. She did these big casting calls out of her office on the Lower East Side. I gotta get there at like 11 a.m. I got shows the night before. I'm up late. I'm out late. We were drinking heavy back in those days. If you remember,
I do remember. And when we say we mean we.
Yes. So I got up and I'm feeling awful, but I'm like, I got to get my ass to this audition. I'm trying to get there and I'm stuck in traffic and I'm getting really fucking angry. A dude drives through a puddle and it's pouring rain. He splashes me. I'm soaking wet. I go, what the fuck? And the guy gives me the finger. Like, so by the time I get in there, I'm so fucking angry.
You're Big John.
I am, and that's what they want.
They want an angry
Big
John? They
want a big angry guy. They're like, okay, you need to be big and pissed off.
Perfect.
And I'm like, I got it. So they
fuck
roll.
Fuck you!
And I'm so pissed that it all just comes through, and they're, and all these Japanese guys are like, oh, they're asking, how tall is she? He's 6'6". Oh, 6'6". Oh, big guy. So I get the fucking part. I get the role, and
that's great, dude.
And I have to go, here's the role. I'm throwing, this is a real-life Japanese pop star, is the star of the ad campaign. His name is Taji. He's a 17-year-old kid who's a huge star in Japan. And the gist of the commercial is that he's in a nightclub, and he gets thrown out. So I'm the bouncer, and I have to throw the guy out. So that's my role, is I gotta grab this kid by like his collar and the back of his pants, like fucking Bugs Bunny,
yeah,
and throw him off a loading dock,
bunzai,
into a big pile of padded shit. You know, it looks like I'm throwing him off into the ground. And I'm like, so do you guys want me to throw him? They're like, oh yeah, really throw him. This needs to look real. So we did it like 8 times. I just got to fucking run with this dude
awesome.
And chuck him off the And
you probably still had some residual anger built up that you could kind of vent on this dude.
I always have plenty of that laying around.
Dude, that is great. I got to see that.
I
got to
see if I can find
it.
I know I have it somewhere.
Oh, man.
But so he's like playing, you know, it's like cutting to him playing guitar out on the street singing and then back to this weird nightclub. Oh, so it was fun, man.
That would be great if you could splice that next to the Lou Diamond Phillips getting dragged footage, like Big John tossing the Japanese guy and Lou Diamond Phillips getting splinters and his elbow smashed and whatever other fucking shot 7 times and headbutted by the horse.
Dude, I want to know, at the beginning, you said you have a friend who is obsessed with Lou.
Yes, yes.
I'm kind of glad that didn't come up
I
while we had him on the line.
I didn't
know
how he might take it. I didn't know how he might take it because I'm sure he's had stalkers and shit like that. But my friend's not stalkery. He just is like, you know how people really get into a star? Like they just get into...
Yes.
You know, like just love that. They just, you know, but like not in a crazy way. Like not in the way that, remember when we were... Dude, when we were signing CDs after I opened for you at that theater, and you're like, oh, boy. We had a line of people,
right.
And you're like, oh, boy, here comes a shaker. And I was like, a what? And this dude comes up, and he's like, are you Ben Bailey from Cash Cab? And he's shaking. And he's like, yeah, I get one. You're like, I get one of these a month. I'm like, what the fuck, bro? I've never seen anything like that. The dude was shaking. Look, he was going to piss his drawers. So it's not like that kind of thing. It's not like that kind of thing. He's just
imagine how Lou gets it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But so this guy,
he's
your
just
friend,
really
is not
into
like
Lou.
That. He just loves him.
He just loves him. He loves his work. He also loves this guy, El DeBarge. There's kind of like a more ironic thing with El DeBarge. But this dude...
that makes it even funnier. He also
yeah,
loves
I mean,
what
a disparity of guys to like, you know?
Nobody gonna make my stride.
So...
behind Lou Diamond Phillips, because I love him.
So this guy became a director. He became a director, and he calls
okay, he's
me
a film director. This
film
guy.
Director now, and we had done some stuff in the past or whatever. And he loves my, you know, my comedy, and so he calls me. He's like, "Look, I wrote this script."
It's funny. You and Lou look a little bit alike.
A little bit. Well, we're both tall and kind of beige-ish. You know what I mean? A little khaki.
Yeah. You know, you have something similar.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much for people to
right,
mix you up.
Right.
People mix me up with people all the time.
Yeah. People. I got a lot of. Yeah, we talked about you get that guy from Rome.
Yeah.
And I get
Ray,
that's
a funny story. Did we talk about that on the celebrity one?
Yeah.
Ray Stevenson is that guy.
I get this guy.
I get him and I get Mike Rowe more than anybody.
Mike Rowe,
Dirty
I could
Jobs
see that
guy.
Too. I
Has anyone ever too. Mistaken you for Lou?
No, but they mistake me for when I met my wife. I said I was Jeff Goldblum's brother to get into this club,
right,
and they
Jeff
believed
Goldblum.
It.
Yeah.
I've been mistaken for this other guy. There's some Latino actor that I always get mistaken for. I can't. It's like Nelson somebody. I can't remember this guy's name, but it's always
cool.
Like I go into castings. They think I'm him. I'm like, yeah. He's done a lot more shit than me. Put me in the movie.
Sure, yeah, I'll take the role.
But so anyway,
all right, go ahead.
Yeah, so my buddy, he's like, dude, I wrote this script. We're gonna film this thing. I wrote a part for you because I'd been on
That's
a soap
awesome.
Opera. I'd been on the soap opera.
I've been on a soap.
And I'd been a janitor. I'd been a janitor and I'd been on a soap opera. So he's like, he's like, your part is you're a janitor. That wants to be a soap opera actor. So you at the end you do this talent show with your buddy and you do like recreate a scene from a soap opera. It's really funny. It's like the whole movie's about these guys, you know, competing against each other, blah blah blah. But he's like, I was like, what's the name of the character? He's like Plaxico Diamond Phillips, right? And his partner's El DeBarge, right? So I'm like, you didn't even change El DeBarge, bro.
Plaxico Diamond Phillips.
Plaxico Diamond Phillips. I'm like, dude, that name, man, I don't know. He's like, dude, you're Plaxico Diamond Phillips. And then we shot the thing, and it's.
I'm glad we didn't tell Lou this. Yeah. He'll hear it if he listens. To
yeah,
the,
hey man,
to the
it's all respect, Lou. It's the it's all good, man. But it just was it was so funny. That's how much he loved him. He just had to put it, part of his name in the thing. You
wow.
know?
What's the name?
It was
of that
an homage.
Movie?
It's called Love Magical, and it I believe it should be on Amazon coming up like in June, something like that. There's going to be like a. You know, release Amazon and maybe IFC or something like that. But I don't have
cool.
But anyway, it's called Love Magical.
Love Magical,
yeah.
Starring DC Benny.
Well, I'm the third. I'm the bad guy in it. I'm the bad guy.
Dude, how great is that to be the bad guy?
I love being the bad guy, dude. Being
and your
good
character's
guy.
Name is Plaxico,
Plaxico Diamond Phillips, yeah.
Like Plaxico Burress.
Yeah.
The only Plaxico anyone's ever heard of.
And I wear Daisy Dukes the whole fucking movie and a little, and like a little straw hat.
And a little straw hat?
Little straw hat and cowboy boots. I look, oh my God, dude. It's,
and that's it?
Yeah. Well, the other, yeah, Daisy Duke, straw hat, cowboy, and a plaid shirt. It just is, it's
dude, that
it's
sounds
really
like
funny.
You had a good time.
It was funny. It's like kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite kind of type of thing.
Oh,
you know?
All right, all right.
Of, you know, that kind of like, it's out there, bro. It's out there. It's just out there, man. But, you know, it was cool that somebody did that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So the guy wrote a part for you.
Yeah.
Dude, but, Lou is like one of those guys. He's just been in so many things. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows his
name.
Face. He's a household yeah. name. And he's liked. He's well liked.
Yeah.
He's not one of those guys that everybody knows, but they're like, yeah.
He doesn't seem like a douche. Like he's got this douche side, you know?
Dude,
like,
how nice is he?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's such a great guy to do the show. And I don't know. He just like.
Didn't shit on anybody in the story.
No,
like,
no.
Just it was like, you know, a positive.
Yeah, he could have shit on them and been like, those motherfuckers didn't care if I lived or died.
Yeah, I almost died. That would be a time when you might shit on somebody when you almost died because of some negligence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But didn't do it. Class act, man. Class act.
Longmire's great. Have you seen Longmire?
Yeah, I really like Longmire.
We found Longmire and we just like watched the whole thing.
I was reading the book and I didn't know there was a show. And then I was checking out then I watched an episode. I'm like, this is great. I love stuff like that.
Oh, that's what you I know? Was going to say, dude. Lou is one of those guys who's like just sort of in the consciousness.
Yeah.
A few months ago, like after we first hung out, I guess maybe it's more like a year ago. Man, time is the older we get, the faster
dude,
it goes, man. It's
say
unbelievable.
It in my good ear.
So, yeah. So, he was here in New York and we hung out and then I was like, I'm going to be in LA in a month doing a show at the Improv and he was going to come. I had him on the guest list. He was going to come in and he couldn't make it. Last minute, he couldn't make it. I think his daughter got sick or something. And so I'm like, all right, that's cool. A little disappointed because it's always fun to hang out with him, but he couldn't make it in. And then that night, the guys that were hosting the show were those goddamn Comedy Jam guys. You know those dudes? Josh Adam Myers and those guys.
I don't know those
guys. They're great guys. They're super fun dudes. They all play music and do a stand-up show while they're playing music and sing.
Cool.
And,
yeah.
And Bill Burr had myself and those guys, we all went and played music on the stage at Madison Square Garden in the afternoon before.
What?
Yeah, Bill was doing a show that night as part of the New York Comedy Festival. He said, could we just jam on the stage in the afternoon? And the guys were like, yeah, sure, man. So he invited us, and we all went and fucking jammed on stage at the Garden.
Dude.
So like, I kind of bonded with those guys. They're great guys. I think they have a show on Comedy Central now.
Okay.
Goddamn Comedy Jam, where as a comedian,
you were pissed off at him when you're like, those goddamn comedy guys.
No, that's just their name.
Their
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what they do. Like, they'll have a guest comic come in and play a song with them.
Ah.
They do stand-up, and then I think the end of the show is you play a song with them. So I totally want to do it. I want to, because I know all these Sabbath tunes from my Sabbath band or whatever. But anyway, so those guys are hosting the show this night at the Improv. Back to that story. Lou was going to be my guest at the show, but he couldn't come. They end up, there's a guy in the crowd who looks like Edward James Olmos. And so I dubbed him Edward James Almost. And so he was like a focal point. You know, we kept talking about him. And so they started playing La Bamba, the music, the song La Bamba. But the guy, the singer, Josh Adam Myers is his name, didn't know the words to La Bamba. So he's just going, Lou Diamond Phillips, Lou Diamond Phillips, Lou Diamond, for like 5 minutes. He kept doing it again. And I'm like, this is so weird. Lou was going to be here. Oh, I'm like, how weird would it be if he was here for this? Oh. And they were doing that unrelated to him being here. Oh. It's just like.
Oh, that is hilarious, dude. Yeah, if he
pretty
had been
crazy,
there,
right?
Yeah, if he had been there and him and Edward James Olmos got together. I love that. Edward James Olmos. That's like a good roast snap, like to call somebody.
Someone
like,
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, someone kind of old and Latino, you know?
Oh, man. Well, I think we should wrap it up. Yeah. That was a great episode.
That was awesome, man.
Huge thanks to Lou Diamond Phillips for being on the show, man. That was great. You're a hell of a storyteller.
You're
a great actor and a great dude. Thanks again. I'm Ben Bailey. You can see everything that I'm up to at therealbenbailey.com. I'm at realbenbailey on Twitter. I am Real Ben Bailey on Instagram. And you can go to Ben Bailey Cash Cab on Facebook.
It's a lot of real stuff. I'm DC Benny. You can go to dcbenny.com. And then on there is my Instagram at DC Benny and or at the real DC Benny, one of those things. And you'll see it. That's where we'll post dates and stuff like that. And thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah, thanks for listening to Tall But True, guys. Please spread the word if you're enjoying it. It seems to be growing, but we need to get it to grow even more so we can keep doing it because we're having a great time. But, you know, we got to be able to make it worth our while because otherwise we got to work. We're going to have to go out and work for a living.
Right.
So please, repost, retweet, whatever, and spread the word about the show. And put some ratings up. If you guys are enjoying this, please go to iTunes.
Only good ones, though. Only good ones.
Yeah, don't put any bad ratings. Yeah. There's an asshole who, like, everything I do.
Oh, Jesus.
He's the first one. I have no idea who it is, but
should
I know
we
it's
even
the
be
same
talking
one.
About him and giving him. Hey,
yeah, I don't know that. I don't know the screen name. I don't know anything. But there's a guy who shits on everything I do. First thing. So if
maybe
you guys,
it's Edward James Olmos.
It might be Edward James Olmos. Lou Dan Phillips. That was so weird. And then I messaged Lou about it, and I was like, this is weird. Maybe I should be sending this message that they're singing La Bamba with his name as the lyrics, but he was cool. He's like, that's fucking weird.
It can't be the first time somebody,
But so go and rate the show. If you're enjoying the show, please go to iTunes and put a good rating in because we need it. Thanks for listening to Tall But True, man. Next episode is Vic Henley, a good friend Vic Henley will be in. I think we're going to be talking about hecklers.
Awesome.
Hecklers, which is going to be fun. I know
it's
going to
be funny.
Couple of great stories about that. All right, that's it for this episode. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next time on Tall But True.